Hello, in this podcast, I'm going to give you a small reading from a really fantastic book by an author I actually rather admire now, by the way that he's been able to stitch together three stories of the transit of Venus in quite an exciting way and progress the stories under three tracks up to equal positions, so keep your interest there. And his research is absolutely excellent. The research which I find interesting is explaining for me, as an Australian, the voyage where the Europeans discovered Australia in 1770, how, in effect, the Royal Navy had basically a GPS system going, and we Australians actually don't know the actual amount of science involved in the discovery of Australia, so it's very useful to know about it. There's another theme to do with Australia, is the growing body of evidence that there was serious mental health issues with a lot of the military involved, or the military government involved. This is on a personal level and on a structural level. These mental health issues have really not been properly discussed and have been sort of glossed over and recorded in the Australian story. So, as an Australian, I have some interest in this small passage. So this passage is from a book, The Day the World Discovered the Sun, and it's an extraordinary story of the scientific adventure and the race to track the transit of Venus. So Venus is a planet closer to the sun than us, and so we can actually see it block out part of the sun. So if you track it, if you go to different heights on the Earth or different latitudes on the Earth, that will be different angles which the Venus will be crossing the Sun, so different depths away from the equator of the Sun down to the pole of the Sun. So if you're higher up, you'll see further down, it'll be closer to the pole, there'll be a shorter transit and a longest transit up if you're down around the equator and see the transit times, therefore can actually give you basically a parallax distance to give you the distance between the Earth and the Sun. So again, the issue that I'm looking at is the mental health issues aboard the Endeavour, which is the ship which went on to discover Australia, and an insight into the sort of military governance command which actually set up the nature and tone of Australia. So at this point in time, the Endeavour is on its way to from England down South America around the Cape of Good Hope, and it's travelling through the Pacific, and I'll start reading now. The ship's bow held what the crew of the Endeavour called two seats of ease, the toilets. All parts of these seats, dropping straight into the ocean, felt the brunt of the oncoming wind and surf. And if a wave crashed while one sat doing one's business, so be it. Welcome to His Majesty's Navy. On Saturday, late in March, a marine marched up towards the seats of ease. Any who saw him make his way through thought nothing of the commonplace routine. But it was dusk, and when the marine didn't return from the dark, a half hour later, his fellow men at arms began to wonder. This quote. At seven, William Greensland, marine, either by accident or design, went overboard and was drowned, Cook laconically noted in his diary. Banks' journal revealed Greenslade headed towards the bow that evening, never intending to return. So Lieutenant Cook, or called Captain Cook by less knowledgeable people, was the commander, and he kept notes of everything that happened. Banks is a paying tourist, and he keeps more sort of social notes. So these are Banks' words. He was a very young man, scarce 21 years of age, Bank noted in his diary, remarkably quiet and industrious. Greenslade had been guarding the cabin door when one of Cook's servants pulled out a piece of seal skin for making tobacco pouches. Greenslade asked for a piece of skin but was refused. Then Marie surreptitiously helped himself to the seal skin nevertheless. But when the servant discovered the theft, he grabbed it right back. And so the matter would not have ended there, with the servant saying he wouldn't be a snitch since ultimately there was no crime. But the sergeant got wind of the offence and put it into his head that the honour of the Marines was suddenly at stake. The Articles of War, read aloud to the entire ship's crew every Sunday, made it stealing aboard a naval vessel a capital crime. So every Sunday you have the basic military law read to you, and it was said that if you stole anything you'd be killed. Replacing an executed crew member at sea was a real difficulty, though, so Greenslade would probably have been whipped or otherwise humiliated in front of the rest of the ship. Clearly, however, to this soldier, death was preferable to dishonour. To make Greenslade's exit more melancholy, Banks added, he drove to the rash resolution by an accident so trifling that it must appear incredible to everybody who is not well acquainted with the powerful effects that shame can work upon young minds. So that ends the quote. And it's interesting, you add a whole series of incidents as you read into the depths of Australian history about how the marine psychology set up in the early Australian colony and actually shaped what was to come. So some 18 years later, ships from England arrived with around 1,000 people, 800 convicts, and the marine pathology or way of thinking was really inappropriate for setting up a young nation, but the basic, militaristic view has actually still permeated Australian culture. So that's a small reading from The Day the World Discovered the Sun by a fairly amazing author, in my opinion, Mark Anderson. And it was published in 2012, and I highly recommend that you read this book, especially if you're an Australian student of history. Bye for now. Thanks for listening.